Hello guys, welcome to AFD Tech Talk. We are a bunch of friends who meet to have conversations about tech and the world of innovation. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Please retweet, like, and share, and enjoy today's episode.
All right guys, it's a blessed day, and we are pleased to be here once again on the AFD Tech Talk podcast. I'm your host, Salom Donyon, and I've here my co-host, Ni Akwe Akwe.
Yep.
We are going to basically continue what we were talking about last week, where we touched on the E3 and the various showcases, and the fact that many industry giants were missing, most notably Sony, but inadvertently they, I think, gave Xbox and some other developers a chance to shine. It wasn't the best E3 in years, but it's what we got, considering the fact that last year E3 was cancelled and could have been potentially cancelled this year.
We'll make do with what we have.
Yeah, we just make do with what we have. So I think right after E3, Microsoft also came out with something unexpected, something I wasn't quite looking forward to, but I was pleasantly surprised.
It was actually, it has been in the works. There have been rumors about it.
Rumors about it. So we are talking about the Windows 11 event or showcase, which was streamed some time ago. So if you're not able to catch that event, we are here to do that for you. Ni?
Yeah.
What did you pick from the Windows Showcase?
It was a lot. I don't even know where to start from. But yes, I think Windows is doing a good job with R&D and all that. You can see they are actually researching and seeing what people like, what people didn't like about their previous iterations, and what they can add up to make their current iterations better. One thing that stood out the most, or that's the headline of the event, is the fact that you can actually run some Android apps on your Windows now. There's a caveat to that though, because you are not going to download the Android apps from your Microsoft App Store. There's a collaboration
Microsoft and Amazon Store now.
So what you do is, if you see an Android app you want, it directs you to the Amazon App Store. You should have an account there and you can download it from there. That is a big step for Microsoft and a big step for Android also. There are so many ways you can look at this, and currently there's a discussion that's going on that is sort of picking up. Are these big companies sort of destroying some apps that we've gone to love, or that's helped us integrate?
It's a wild attempt to just cut the competition.
I know a lot of you know how BlueStacks
became popular.
Has helped us.
Do you know when before I had my first smartphone, I was using BlueStacks to I used BlueStacks to install WhatsApp so that I could text this guy, like.
So now what's the next thing for BlueStacks? So it gets me thinking. It's a whole different conversation,
And then, funny enough, this is a tie into last year where Microsoft released the Windows Surface Duo. I don't know if you remember their handheld
device.
Their handheld devices, which, look at this, were running Android.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised that they've also brought in some form of Android integration on their desktop solutions, because it looks to me like just the same way we've had Apple build a successful ecosystem around its devices, from the iPad OS to the iOS to the Mac OS. Yes, there's increased interconnectivity and then interoperability between these devices, where we've even seen with the last Apple event, we've even seen like basically
The universal control.
Yeah, universal control, the ability to just switch apps between devices. It was mad. I like, this is just next level. We said in the previous podcast that Xbox is trying to catch up with Sony. Guess what? Microsoft is also trying to catch up with iOS.
It's a cold world out there.
Yeah, it's a cold world out there. I mean, we saw Apple in the WWDC event kind of like announce cross-platform support for FaceTime.
Yes, exactly.
And FaceTime, and then Microsoft sees this and like, whoa, look at that. So now, guess what? We have
Microsoft Teams.
Teams being integrated into the heart of
Microsoft Windows 11.
Yeah, Windows 11. Microsoft Teams has been integrated into Windows 11. What does this mean? This means what happens to Zoom? What happens to
Skype?
That was another thing I was wondering about, because I'm like, Microsoft has Skype, so I was expecting them to merge Skype and Teams into one central video call or messaging app on Windows, and then have cross-platform support for it. But in a strange and should I say desperate? No, maybe not. Maybe not. They integrated Teams into the heart of Windows 11, and then they showcased it. It was actually quite good.
And that's the thing about the big companies killing off smaller companies, because Microsoft spent a huge sum of money to purchase Skype,
and
they developed Teams. Nobody has a problem with that, but as far as I know, Teams is sort of a corporate video conference.
It has this corporate
look feel to it, and Skype is more of the friendlier version of a video conferencing app.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you at least put the two of them and give the option to the user to select which one he would prefer to use? But you just put yours on, and then now people would have to now download Skype.
It's like you're stuffing it down your throat. Swallow
Microsoft Teams. And the thing is, Zoom has taken a huge leap in the industry already.
From becoming a small scale enterprise to now company, it's like a global thing.
So basically all the other video conferencing apps are now trying to catch up, and you can see that when Apple recently, as Selom said, now FaceTime is cross-platform. You can, from an Android, from a Microsoft, you can connect to a FaceTime call via a link. So all the in the wake of COVID and everything, all the video conferencing apps are trying to up their game to make it accessible everywhere and anywhere. So yeah, I don't know why Skype would, why Microsoft would want to do that to Skype.
Yeah,
but yeah,
ignore Skype. It's just like that meme where the teachers in class are helping the brilliant students, where the actual students who need the help
are abandoned,
are being ignored. Anyway, that was not the only feature we saw coming from Windows 11. The UI was just slick and beautiful to look at. Now they've moved the start button and also the taskbar icons to the center in attempt to, as they say, put the user at the center.
Advertisements.
It doesn't make sense.
Hello, PR.
It doesn't make sense. You said something in a previous podcast episode that when you start watching an Apple event, you are glued from start to finish. I hate to admit this, but I love watching Apple events because of the video production and the delivery.
Yeah.
You can't run away from that fact. The delivery is just top tier. It's just on point. It's so sweet. They always find that sweet spot. And they hate it repeatedly.
This is your...
They always find it. So Microsoft needs to go and take some lessons from Apple's like homework. Wherever Apple keeps their diary, Microsoft needs to find it and read it.
Steal it, but yeah.
We steal it because this allegory, I didn't get it.
Put the user at the center. Because he just shifted. He wanted to shift your start button from there.
To the center, and then you're like, you're putting the user, what kind of a low A is this?
But yeah. You go with it.
So the UI looks slick, it looks cleaner. It reminded me a bit of Ubuntu, because some of the Ubuntu has, depending on which version of Ubuntu you're using, the whole Linux, the whole glassy, slick, like clean look, they adopted that. Well, the UI was very, very clean. They've also restyled the logo. And then guess what? They've also put in native support for HDR.
Yeah, for their gaming.
So this is clearly a move which is going to benefit most of the games that they've released
on Microsoft.
Yeah, previously Microsoft Flight Simulator. But the one game which they mentioned was going to really benefit from this was Age of Empires 4, which we talked about in the previous podcast, has been a classic line of games which has been which has seen a new title being launched or being announced for release. And they also mentioned that even games which do not natively support HDR on Windows would still benefit from this feature. And they demoed Skyrim. They demoed a gameplay video of Skyrim where they showed the differences with the HDR on and then the HDR
off. And off. I think they said it's an automatic adjustment. So
yeah, it's an automatic.
So once you're hooked on it, you go live.
The colors looked more crisp, the environments, the differences between the tones, the shaders, was very, very apparent with that. What other features did they announce which got you hooked on?
Yeah, so another thing they announced, you know how COVID has hooked us to our PCs at home, working from home and everything. So people like to hook their laptops to bigger external displays and all that.
Yes, yeah, so for a larger workspace.
Yeah, so the thing about hooking it up to an external display is that once you disconnect it, you lose all the setup you had on your external display. Once you connect it again, you'd have to manually set it up again. But with Microsoft's Windows 11, there's sort of a storage on the
memory
allocation for that display arrangement. So once you hook your laptop to an external display, you set up how your desktop will look, and you disconnect. That look stays in memory. Mm-hmm. You come back and connect, everything moves just like you left it.
And that's was very clean.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
It's a tying feature to the split layout
they came up with. Yeah.
Yeah, the split layout support also was really cool. Actually, there's some versions of it there's some forms of it in different versions of Windows, but this one looked quite intuitive with the way you could multitask and that kind of thing.
And also they finally killed Windows Explorer.
Wow.
Minutes of silence for Windows Explorer.
The death of Windows Explorer. Okay, so now that Windows Explorer is gone, what is there in this week?
So they came up with Edge in Windows 10, I think, and 9. There was no Windows 9. So Windows 8 and 9. In Windows 8 and 10.
In 10.
They came up with Edge. And Edge...
Funny, why is there everyone in the industry who seems to skip number?
9. I don't know. Is there a curse? Is there a curse with the number 9 in the tech world? But yeah.
Apple skipped it. Microsoft skipped it too.
Anyway. So they came up with Edge, and it's people say it's sort of like Explorer.
The only reason why I open Microsoft Edge is to download Chrome.
Exactly. So I don't know. And I don't know the thing. I don't know the thing about browsers that makes us stick to Chrome. But
Chrome, I think with one of the new features of Chrome I liked is the way the tabs are grouped. The web pages look quite fast. The integration with other Google websites like YouTube and Gmail, which I often open on my Chrome browser.
Yeah, I think it's that integration with Google that makes us stick to Chrome. But in all honesty,
and extensions.
Yeah, extensions too. But in all honesty, Chrome steals a lot of RAM.
Like it hogs its mat. And
like the processes that run once you open Chrome is crazy.
It's wild. And this is basically because every Chrome tab opens as a new process in Windows Tax Manager. If you open Windows Tax Manager, you realize that any new tab you open in Chrome, not even just new tabs, Chrome runs separate processes for even the extensions that you're running.
That are running on your tabs.
The good thing about it is that Chrome seldom gets unresponsive.
Yeah, unresponsive web pages.
Yes, even if one web page is freezes, you can close just that particular
web page and it won't freeze the whole application.
Yeah. Just that aspect. If you were to use Mozilla
will freeze the whole app.
The whole app will freeze. You have to just close everything, and then that's annoying. But the only reason why, well, probably some people prefer Mozilla over Chrome. Firefox has this history of being one of the best and long-standing browsers, and also they are good when it comes to privacy.
Yep. Firefox has taken a huge step in privacy.
Yes.
The same with Safari.
Well, when it Google, chale, I don't know what and
Google,
what.
Google makes their money off your privacy.
I've always said that if Skynet is going to rise up and then enslave the human race, it's going to be through Google. So, I don't know. Chrome hogs a lot of RAM. I don't know if this new update is going to make people prefer Edge to Chrome, since there are a lot of alternatives out there. One thing which Microsoft keeps on throwing about, one thing I actually hate about these tech conferences, there are some words they like to throw about, which I like, are so annoying. So they always go like, this is our fastest, this is our cleanest, this is our best optimized, this is our most efficient, this is the CPU and the disk and the thing.
It's definitely going to be your most efficient or most powerful.
And our new architecture engine, whatever. I'm like, they just keep on throwing the fastest, the most efficient, the best in front of those adjectives in front of everything they can think of just to get attention. Apple does it, but well, when they do, they don't actually lie.
Exactly.
The rest of the companies, I don't know. It's just, some of it just seems to be like old wives' tales to me. And there's this one trend with Windows, which I would like us to talk about. Which we are going to like sort of close on this. So we had Windows 1.0, which came in 1985, which was a great OS. Windows 2.0 came out in 1987, not so great. Windows 3 came out in 1990. Which was good. Windows 95 came out. Not so good.
98
Windows 98 came. Yay. Superb. Windows ME came. Windows 80 came, was quite okay. It was actually very popular with servers and like workstations and stuff. Windows 2000.
Not so good.
Then they came with Windows XP. Which was
excellent.
Actually, to me, their best OS to date. Like, I'll never forget that sign-in like sound, that logon. Yeah, I'll never forget it. And also that the background, the whole Green Hill, thing. This is the stuff nostalgia is made of. And now, what did they do next? Now, Windows XP was so good that it was in support for so many years. And what I even know about Windows XP is that even the military, it's been adopted by the military for a lot of countries just because it's very stable, number one. The code makes it difficult
to hack.
And also because most hackers focus on more vulnerable operating systems like the Windows 8s and then the 10s. They tend not to focus on the XP. So the XP, what I know is that most military like organizations have adopted Windows XP.
Adopted it then, but currently it's out of.
Currently it's unsupported. Because Microsoft has dropped support. I don't know what they're going to do next, but for a very long time that was the standard. And also, it was Windows XP. It was with Windows that Microsoft announced like DirectX 9. They came up with various versions for DirectX later. Windows Vista came.
Crap.
I mean, they tried to do something with the UI and the core concept. Well, didn't really work. We all know it didn't. Now Windows 7 came.
Classic. It was a hit.
Windows 7 was a hit.
Then Windows 8.
And 3 years later.
Blasted.
Windows 8. Charlie. And then Windows 8, then they tried to make it look 8.1. Good by coming out with 8.1 so that they could confuse us into thinking they
fixed the issue.
So we didn't like it.
Then Windows 10.
And then Windows 10, which has been around since 2015.
It's been good.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been okay. Windows 10 has been around for roughly like 6-7 years now. 6 years, roughly. And it's been quite stable. Now
we have Windows 11.
We have Windows 11. So looking at
the trend,
looking at the hopscotch Microsoft has played with its operating systems, she loves me not. The big question is Windows 11 going to be a hit
or a miss?
Looking at the trend, we would say it's a mess, but let's leave the real world usage of this upcoming OS.
So the betas will be out very soon, and the reviews
will start rolling in.
If history serves us right, this is supposed to be a mess, but I hope it's not a mess for them. If it's a mess, it's going to hurt them.
It's going to really hurt them. Looking at what WWDC
Apple is doing with their OS and all that, it's going to hurt them.
It's really, 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 really.
The way the world is going, you shouldn't be taking hits like that currently. So yeah.
Also looking at the fact that we are trying to transition from transition to a next gen society, so to speak. Most of the games that we've seen developed for. Former gen like consoles and platforms, and also current gen making use of new technology. Unreal announced the Unreal Engine 5, which they demoed in the PlayStation 5, and then they demoed some their new technology called Nanite, which allowed them to display a lot of
lights.
Nanite.
That deals with the lights, the amount of lights that comes into.
The Nanite has to do with the amount of polygons which are rendered in the scene. They also came out with a new lighting engine, which handled global illumination quite differently. And all this was done in real time. It's really a big deal in the industry. And if anything is supposed to go hand in hand with something like this, it has to be with the OS.
It has to be a good OS.
It has to be a good OS running on. Otherwise, if Windows 11 hits, we're going to see a lot of app developers, actually preferring to develop their apps and what were solutions
for Windows. And
previous versions
of
Windows.
Integration with Android and Amazon should help. And I'm sure developers are happy about that. So now when they are developing apps,
Developers who are not happy about it too. BlueStacks, no, they are dead.
Definitely. There are some people that will have to suffer.
They say when it rained, the farmer prays for rain. But the homeless people
pray for shelter.
Yes.
So yeah, so we hope it's a hit for Windows 11, for the sake of the industry.
All right, guys. So you've been listening to us today ramble on about Windows 11, talking a little bit here and there about WWDC and also what Microsoft did with their E3 reveals, and we've come to the end of this series about. The virtual events which have been held recently. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and if there's any feedback or any comments you like to give us, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram as at AFD Tech Talk. You can engage with us on the timeline or send us a DM. Also, you can subscribe to us in your podcast app and like and share and leave a review on these episodes. I've been Salom Donyo. I am Salom Donyo. I've been hosting this with Ni.
Yeah, in person.
Akwe in person today. So we'll catch you next week in an all new episode. Peace out. Stay blessed. You are my treasure. You are my treasure.